If you've ever wondered whether an e-bike is cheating, whether it's right for you, or you're simply curious about all the excitement surrounding e-bikes, this is an episode you won't want to miss. Coming up next on Pedal the Springs, I'm talking with the owner of Manitou E-Bike Co., Greg Cobble. He is passionate about helping people rediscover the joy of riding, especially those who thought their cycling days were behind them because of age, health challenges, or simply keeping up with friends and family. Through sales, rentals, service, and a genuine love of the outdoors, Manitou E-Bike Co. is helping more people than ever experience the beauty of Colorado on two wheels.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast.
Welcome and roll on in to the Pedal the Springs podcast, where we banter about all things biking in Colorado Springs in the Pikes Peak region. I'm your host, Tori Giffen, self-appointed ambassador for cycling in the Springs and owner of the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. And what I don't know about biking in this area, my friends do. And here is today's guest, my friend Gregory Cobble, the owner of Manitou E-Bike Co. Welcome, Greg. I'm so happy to have you on our show today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I am especially excited because you brought back to life biking on the corner of Colorado and 31st Street to our neighborhood, right up the street from the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, with your beautiful new Manitou E-Bike Co. bike shop. And it is stunning looking. How is it going?
It's going better than we ever could have imagined, tell you the truth. We moved from Manitou, where we did well. But when we opened in February, the floodgates opened. And I think it's just the exposure from that big intersection. Everyone can see us. And many people are biking right by our store, and they stop and have their bike serviced. And it's been very good.
Or me, I run out of the nail salon and you're right there, right. Or the great sushi place right there. It is some of the best sushi right there as well. Mm-hmm. But it's such a beautiful shop, such a beautiful showroom. We brought our bike ride group, our bike tribe, to your grand opening. Mm-hmm. And what a turnout. And you guys even gave away a bike and everything. Were you really thrilled with how many people showed up for that grand opening?
Yeah, we have a new employee that plans our events. He's got a lot of experience at that, and he really brought it. He really did a good job.
That's amazing. Yeah. You occupy that corner that was so iconic for many years as the Trails Inn Tap Room, and they did such a beautiful job with the build-out of that space. Mm-hmm. And I noticed you kept a lot of that design in it, and it feels mountain. It feels like you come in, you're checking out the e-bikes. But the best thing about your location is that you're literally right across from Red Rock Canyon Open Space. You're right next to all the trails, and you can just ride right out of your store and go test out an e-bike, yes?
Absolutely.
Or rent.
Again, the prior business we were in, the location, downtown Manitou. Can you imagine doing a test ride during the summer, downtown Manitou? But now we've got the wide open parking lot. Test rides are encouraged by us before anyone buys. We want them to get on and make sure it feels right. And now we have all the room in the world. And yeah, right out the back, our garage door, we open up the door, and that's where we do our rental. And the customers in the summer, they just take Midland Trail over to Ridge, and they're right in the Garden of the Gods. So it's an absolute perfect location.
It's amazing. And one of my favorite rides is going right up behind you up through Gold Camp Road and out to the tunnels and things like that. So you rent, you have sales, and then you have service as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And our service has picked up so much due to the location. People riding their bikes, if they're having trouble, they'll just pull up and bring their bike in, and we'll try to help them out.
Just e-bikes or all bikes?
Well, actually, any bike, as long as it's basic service, right? Like brakes and tune-ups, we'll work on any bike. And we'll work on any e-bike as long as we can get the parts we need for that particular bike.
Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that there are a lot of super knowledgeable e-bike mechanics out there, right? It's a whole new area.
It is. Since we got into it, it was really brand new 6 years ago. And my son, he leads the shop. He's the lead mechanic. And he's pretty much self-taught over the last 6 years. And I really don't know a better e-bike mechanic than him. In the last 6 years, I think he's seen it all. The amount of bikes that have come in the shop and the amount of variances in terms of battery, the electronics and whatnot. I think he's seen it all. And again, we'll try to help anyone we can. It's just the people that make the mistake of buying a bike off Amazon. And sometimes they get lucky, but oftentimes something will break and they can't get a hold of the company to get a part. And if they can't get a hold of them, we can't get a hold of them. And then we can't help them, but we try to help as many as we can.
So what days are you open and what are the hours?
We're open every day except Monday. We're closed every Monday and we're open from 10 to 5, except for Sunday, it's 11 to 4.
Okay. And so you co-own the shop with your son. How wonderful is that? But you started this business about 10 years ago or?
No, it's more like the 6 year range.
Okay.
I got into it because in another business, I had a partner who was the initial investor in Rad Power Bike. So about 10 years ago, I went out and stayed over with him. And he wanted me to ride this e-bike. And at that time, the only reason I rode bikes was for a workout. So I really didn't get it, what they were all about, until I rode it. And then I realized how fun they were. And then next thing I know, I've met with the Rad corporate office, and they were selling bikes to rental fleets. So that's how I got into it. Our first season was 6 years ago, and all we did was rent. I was just feeling the water, but it went over so well that my son decided to join, and then we opened a store. But during that first summer, everyone that rented, they were so enthusiastic when they got back. It's like, where can we get one of these? So we thought, well, the logical step is to start selling. So we did, and it's gone really well. Manitou served us great. We were right downtown. A lot of tourists saw us. We did a lot of rental. But for sales, customers had a hard time parking downtown Manitou. And that was their only frustration. So when we moved out to 31st Street and Colorado Ave, the floodgates have really opened.
I mean, it's just right on the border of old Colorado City and Manitou Springs. And most people are taking their bikes that way as well. So the name still works, right?
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, it used to be a bike hangout in the tap house.
Yes.
All the decor was bicycles. Bikers would hang out there after they rode at Red Rock Canyon Open Space. So we fit right in. We plan to do more events, group rides, and things like that. But
this city needs a group e-bike ride. That's very exciting.
Yeah, we're planning on that. We've got a large deck to socialize on because biking is a social activity. People love to get together and ride and then have a drink or something afterwards. So we're going to do that.
My whole business model was built on that too.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we're going to get into the group rides, but right now we're just trying to keep up with the busy season.
That's great. Well, I know from seeing you out and about in the community that you are a real community guy. You bring your bikes in the parades and you get involved. Tell me a little bit more about your passion for cycling in our community.
Well, my passion has been really the business. I love to create new things, and this has been one of my favorite businesses that I've started. And the biggest reason for that is we help people get back on bikes again. We help people stay outdoors longer by being on a bike. So many of our customers are older. They want to continue to get outside. And many of them can't hike anymore, or they have a hard time hiking the hills, but they can ride a bike. They've heard about these e-bikes, but they don't know how they operate. So they're a little bit timid. So we pretty much advertise the fact that we help people learn. I do bike lessons, e-bike lessons. Now with this wonderful big parking lot, it's easy to do the lessons. We do them early in the morning. And after I spend a half hour to an hour with a customer, they've got it. The learning curve is short. It's just a matter of getting on the bike and practicing stops and starts. And then we do circles one way and then do circles the other direction because some people have a harder time turning one way. But anyway, ultimately, our job at the store is just to help people find the right bike that fits them, where they're going to ride, what their needs are. They'll sample two or three different bikes, and they'll find one that really feels best. And then they come back and tell us stories, where they've been and how many miles they put on the bike. So it's very rewarding to see people get back out there and continue riding.
I call it that e-bike smile. Yeah. Like you just, there really is nothing like it. Maybe other than doing something more technical like the chutes where you get to be like on a roller coaster on a bike. But yeah. I've never had such joy as just being able to go out and explore places that I might not have the time or the ability to get to by bike, mm-hmm. like out on the Gold Camp mm-hmm. tunnel roads and things like that, mm-hmm. That would be outside of my fitness level right now. But right. I'm going to still get a great workout,
sure.
And I'm going to get to see more beautiful places by bike. And mm-hmm. it's incredible. What a gift. How do you think what your business is doing is changing the landscape of Colorado Springs?
Man, you see it. How many bikes are out there? We're selling a lot of bikes. And as a business person, my theory is, well, eventually everyone will have one. What am I going to do? But we're actually seeing people, customers come back and buy their second or even their third. Because oftentimes people will get into a bike, the first one, and it's fine. It's a starter. But as they learn and ride more, they realize they may want front suspension or a suspension seat post. And the e-bikes are evolving so fast. There's so much new technology they're adding. And a lot of customers want to update their bike. So, yeah, we're continuing to really sell bikes. And you see them all over. And I worry about some of the older people that are getting on bikes that they're careful because yes. it's no fun to fall anymore. But I think the gamble of either riding or sitting at home, it's better to get on the bike and ride. Take that chance.
Do you have a favorite story of somebody that you've rented or sold a bike to recently?
I have so many stories. A lot of my favorite stories are the lessons I do for people that they've heard about these e-bikes, but they're a little leery. And then I take them, we go early in the morning. One lady in particular, she was so happy after she was finished. She was crying, thanking me. She was so grateful for learning this and being able to buy a bike and take it home and ride. So a lot of my favorite stories are around the lessons.
What's the oldest age you put on an e-bike?
Yeah. Just the other day, we had a sweet couple that came in, and they wanted to buy e-bikes. And you know, I looked at them. I knew they were a little older. And through further conversation, I found out they were 88 and 89 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And we found them a couple bikes, lightweight, 20-inch tires, lower center of gravity, so they're a little safer, a little lower to the ground. And sure enough, I got them out in the parking lot, and we did some test rides, and they bought two bikes.
I'm guessing they were former cyclists.
Yeah, most everyone has ridden bikes. But out here, the stories we hear are, I've got a bike, I haven't ridden it in 5-10 years, I've heard about these e-bikes.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of that. We get all ages. We sell bikes for the younger people, teenagers that are buying the mope style that look like a motorcycle. But
yeah.
they have pedals, and they're technically an e-bike. But we're getting a lot of parents bringing kids in now. We added 3-4 different models in that category. So we sell to all ages, but the older people blow me away, the amount of older people that are getting back on bikes. And I'm talking 55 on up.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest barrier to an e-bike or the biggest misperception about the e-bike? Is it just that you're not working?
Yeah. The biggest pushback are from people that, like I used to be, I rode bikes for a workout. And I thought, why would I want an e-bike when I want to work out? But the fact is, on an e-bike, you can get all the workout you want. You really can. You just put that pedal assist on a lower number and try going up a hill.
Yes.
And see what kind of workout you get.
Go up Ridge Road.
Right.
And get a workout.
Right. And I ride an e-mountain bike, which is a class 1, mm-hmm. no throttle, and I'm literally pedaling all the time, using the assist when I need it, and oftentimes I'll have to stop and rest from the hills. And purists who buy an e-mountain bike that make that switch, they come back and tell us they're riding longer, they're seeing more,
right.
they're staying out longer. But I get it. I get that fact that they think you're cheating or not getting a workout.
Well, I actually raced an e-bike with just one battery and no throttle up Pikes Peak before. And I will tell you that to this day, it's the hardest ride I've ever done in my entire life. It was so challenging because in order to have my one battery last to the top, I couldn't go into more than one or two assists. And it was rough. I hit three a couple times. And so that ended it, that burned out my battery just maybe about a half mile from the top. And I had to push that bike to get my medal at the top. And I did come in last. So it was just a finisher medal. But you can get a great workout on an e-bike and have some really grand adventures that might not otherwise be possible. I have ridden Pikes Peak one other time, and it was with my son on a unicycle when he was 13. But, you know, stopped a lot and things like that. But I have made it up twice now by bike.
Well, my Pikes Peak story is similar. I rode the Ride to the Summit 2 years ago on a Class 1, my mountain bike, no throttle. And I was leading for probably the first three quarters of the race. 2 miles from the top, my battery ran dry.
Yep.
And it was so hard to pedal up the hill. I couldn't go straight. I had to weave back and forth in order to get momentum to get up the hill. And that was the hardest ride I ever did.
So I recommend a double battery setup. It was just if you were going to race, you could only have one battery. But you could actually ride up Pikes Peak on an e-bike on your own anytime. I recommend the Cycle to the Summit. They have an e-bike category now that's non-competitive. And so if you go the double battery, you can enjoy the ride a little bit more. I do like throttles, especially if you're doing hill climbing, because it helps me start on a hill.
Yeah, for sure.
It can be pretty tough taking a heavy bike to power start on a hill. So I highly recommend double battery, a throttle, and go ride up Pikes Peak and enjoy something that you never thought that you could do, because it's open now to bikes all year long. You could go ride up and down Pikes Peak, and it's majestic.
The day I went up, it was beautiful. The weather up top was just beautiful. Yeah. So I recommend that.
And then Garden of the Gods.
Well.
You can't beat it, but it's such a roller coaster up and down. And so many people I know just struggle on those hills on their regular bikes. So a lot of times when I go out and ride, even though I mainly ride my regular bike, but if I'm doing a hill climb ride or if I'm going out with friends that might be in better shape than me, I want to have a good time and I want to be social. I also shoot a lot of video while I'm riding of our bike tribe and stuff. And so I love doing the Garden of the Gods on my e-bike and just being able to not always have the heaviest workout through there and sometimes just get to be social.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So you can decide how, I mean, no matter what I'm experiencing, I even went through COVID getting out every day on an e-bike when I was sick. And this was back when everybody had it. We recovered by getting 20 miles out on an e-bike while we were recovering from that.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
I was able to get just enough of a workout to feel good, but not enough to push it. And it's a great way to explore our city. And there's just so many places that you can ride here. What are some of your favorite?
Well, I
besides
do
the garden.
I do the mountain. I currently live in Woodland Park, so I do the trails up there. Level Gulch is a good one. Rampart Range is a good one. I pretty much stay off the pavement overall. But it made me think of something. So the Ride to the Summit, this year we've got one of our major brands that is going to sponsor the Ride to the Summit.
Wow.
Velatrek. Okay. I was on a Zoom call early this morning finalizing this deal. So they're going to also give away one of their mountain bikes called the Summit.
Yeah.
That's why they wanted to participate. So we're going to promote the Velatrek Summit. It's called a Summit 2. One of our employees, Brady, is going to enter the race. He says he's going to win the race, and then we're going to give one of these bikes away on August the 4th or something, but it'll be highly advertised over the next month. So we're going to have a big demo day on August the 2nd, a Sunday, where customers can come and test ride a bike, and that will enter them to possibly win the Velatrek Summit 2. So that's coming up shortly.
So is this bike also just specially suited for climbs like that?
It's their mountain version, but it's not a full suspension. It's got front suspension. It's a very versatile bike. You can ride it anywhere. It's got knobby tires. So it'll go, it's not a technical mountain bike mm-hmm. per se. It looks like a mountain bike, but it's a big seller because you can take it anywhere on any trail. And due to the name, the Summit, that's the bike we're going to use for Brady to go up the mountain.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know if they still have, can you ride an e-bike up during the cycle to the Summit non-competitively?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll find out.
Yeah, I don't
know.
We'll
put it in the show notes.
Yeah, people will be able to register for the ride at our store.
Oh, that's amazing.
Effective tomorrow. We'll have information on how customers can register to ride.
Cycle to the Summit's amazing because they actually close down the road mm-hmm. for 3 hours to cars on that one day for you to be able to ride up the mountain without cars. And that's mm-hmm. amazing because especially riding uphill, sometimes you need, mm-hmm. you want to be able to kind of take that lane and do it. It's hard to stay right when you're climbing the hills on the bike. So what other brands do you carry at your store?
We carry, as I said, Velotrek, Aventon, a dealer-only bike. Mm-hmm. That's A-I-M-A, IMA. That's our rental fleet. It's a really high-quality bike. We carry MacFox, Zeus, P51, Gazelle. And, Urtopia. Urtopia is the lightweight carbon fiber e-bike.
So do you have any recommendations for people that might be looking for an e-bike for like where to start? Or besides coming into the shop, what kind of tips could you give somebody besides not buying on Amazon? I would probably also not recommend buying them secondhand because you never know.
You never know
what that bike's been through unless you can get it checked out first.
Yeah, people come in often and ask if we have any used bikes, and we just don't really get into the used mm-hmm. bikes. Occasionally we do, because we have customers that sometimes will buy a bike and it just didn't work out for them. Mm-hmm. We know where it came from. You know, we know the customer, we know how many miles, so we'll buy it back and then we'll put those on the floor. The best thing to do, honestly, is to come. I love people to do their research and mm-hmm. look online and see what you like, but then come in and see us mm-hmm. and see all the different models. We carry the fat tire, cargo, foldable, lightweight, heavyweight bikes that people like to take up the mountain hunting with full suspension, fat tires.
Do you even
tires.
Have a trailer for hunters to tow behind there?
Yeah, we have those accessories. But there's so many different options. You literally have to get in and test them and, mm-hmm. and ride them.
What about when it comes to mid-drive or your battery types? Because I heard that what you spend on your batteries makes a difference. And whether it's a wheel drive or the hub drive, what do you recommend?
Well, what we recommend is not to buy something that the customer's not going to use, right? The mid-drive is a superior motor. It's more efficient. It's got a higher torque. And you'll find that in most e-mountain bikes because they need more torque to get up the mountain, right? Mm-hmm. But people hear about the mid-drive, and they're very interested in that. But then I ask them where you're going to ride. And, just the trails around here and on the street. I'm like, well, why spend $500 extra dollars on the mid-drive when you're not going to utilize it? So there's that. Like I said, most of the mid-drives you'll find in e-mountain bikes. Mm-hmm.
What about storage for batteries? There's some safety issues, like you can't take it on a plane with you, mm-hmm. the batteries, right? Any kind of concerns safety-wise with how you handle your batteries? Like you can't set them on concrete, or where do you charge them? Like making sure you get them off the charger and don't leave them
on? Yeah, overall, batteries don't like extreme cold or extreme heat. So we tell people, and that's the most important thing to take care of. If you take care of your battery, you can get as many as 8 years out of it. Taking care of it means don't store it. In the winter, oftentimes you don't ride your bike. Well, you don't let your battery sit at zero charge for long periods of time or fully charged. The battery likes to be about 70% if you're going to let it rest mm-hmm. for a couple months. So that's a big thing. And then don't keep it in a cold garage in the winter. I've seen bikes parked, locked up on bike racks in the winter with 5 inches of snow on the battery. I'm like, well, that battery's not going to last too long.
Right.
But as far as safety, we've been 6 years and we've got a rental fleet of 20 bikes. We charge them every night. We've never had a issue with a fire or anything. We haven't even had a customer in the last 6 years that has had any issues with batteries. You hear about the fires. Most of those are rebuilt batteries. Somebody took a battery and took all the cells out, replaced them. Those are the ones you hear the fire stories. But overall, they're pretty simple.
Okay.
You can take them inside to charge it, or you can leave it in the bike and charge it. It's best to just bring it inside.
What do you think about friendliness on the trails for e-bikes? How do you feel that the city's doing as far as adopting e-bike friendliness for our dirt and paved trails?
Yeah, they're moving forward. E-bikes are classified, which makes a city able to regulate. You have class 1, 2, or 3. Class 1 is a bike with a pedal assist and no throttle. Class 2, the bike has a throttle, top speed 20 miles an hour on the pedal assist. And then you have a class 3, top speed is 28 and no throttle. Okay. So the city has allowed e-bikes on all the urban trails, but they only want class 1 on those trails, which is top speed 20, no throttle. And that's fine. Currently, they don't allow any e-bike in the open spaces like Red Rock Canyon open space. They have told me they will allow class 1s eventually, like maybe next season. Yeah, I think they're doing a little work on the trails. But in my opinion, there's not much difference between a class 1 mountain bike and a regular mountain bike in terms of damaging the trail. The weight of an e-mountain bike, they're lighter weight. They're around 48 pounds or so. And with a class 1, you're always pedaling. You have no throttle. So you're always pedaling the bike uphill and then coasting downhill just like a regular mountain bike. So there's really not that much difference between the two. So I'm happy the city has stated they're going to allow class 1s eventually on some of the open spaces.
I wish it was all e-bikes because I think it's the user and how they use that bike. It's like you could have a car that only goes up to a certain mile an hour, and then you can have a car that was designed to go even faster, and it's all about the ownership of the driver. Because sometimes it's nice for me to be able to take my bike on the road. When I ride around Colorado Springs, I'm hitting a little bit of trail, I'm hitting a little bit of road. You know, I have the flexibility to make those connections that our whole city in some areas isn't connected. And so if I'm on a street, I could go at a higher speed. Like I told you, I use the throttle to assist me to start on a hill, especially, or to get through an intersection quickly. And so I actually wish that there was an understanding for the e-bike that it really is about user education and personal responsibility the same way that we are on the roads. I just understand that there's not the ability to enforce it like we are on our roads, right? You don't have the stop signs, you don't have the police, and you can get some crazy e-bike riders out there, but I would dare say that there's some crazy bicyclists that speed on our trails that have no e-assist as well, right?
That's true. I think in that regards, the people that the city should really crack down on are the e-bikes that are going 40 miles an hour. There's methods of cutting a cord, cutting a wire to turn off that governor to allow them to go much faster. We see kids 12 years and up going 40 miles an hour down the street.
That's so scary.
And so,
without a helmet.
And so that bike, the person ought to have a driver's license, just like a motorcycle, and the person should have a tag on anything going that fast. So I feel the e-bike category is pretty regulated with the class 1 through 3. Now, they're not enforcing. No one's really pulling anyone over yet. They're starting to, like in the open spaces, pulling people over if they see an e-bike. Garden of the Gods is, certainly. Yeah. I was pulled over in the Garden of the Gods. But I feel the classification has got the e-bikes in general under control. It's the ones outside that, and we call it the Wild West.
Yeah,
they're just riding this electric bike, scooter, whatever it is, at high speeds, unregulated. And I know they're going to crack down on that. They just haven't. I think the industry's grown so fast.
Well,
just,
I mean,
all of a sudden they're out there and they just haven't got a grip
on it yet. I love seeing people out on bikes and whatever gets them on bikes, because maybe they ride an e-bike and then they want to ride a bike. They get a fitness level up that they didn't have, or discover the joy of riding a bike. And then they get on a self-powered bike, but it is kind of terrifying, some of those kids out there right now that are just tearing it up. Parents, you got to monitor that.
Right. Ultimately, right? It should come down to that. But it's a good point you made. I had an older gentleman the other day. He came in and bought an e-bike, and he said, you know, I'm buying this. And I go, no, tell me. He goes, so I can get in shape and get back on my regular mountain bike. So, yeah, there's that.
Yes. Well, what else? What's coming up next for you?
Well, the next thing is this big Ride to the Summit promotion that we're getting. We're involved with our brand Velatrik. They're going to be the e-bike sponsor of the Ride to the Summit. With that, we're going to have a demo day. We're going to have the bike giveaway. People love the chance to win a free e-bike.
Yes, I know.
We did that at the grand opening.
That was fun.
It was killer.
I didn't win. Yeah. Oh, the rebates. Are those still happening?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you do that? The e-bike rebates. I saw that on your website.
Yeah, good question. Originally, they were doing lottos. The state of Colorado would have a lottery, and you would go online and hope to win as much as $1,200 or so. They used to be a little bit large, but not everyone was lucky enough to win. 2 years ago, they opened up a rebate. The rebate's to the business. It's to us. It's not to the customer.
Okay.
The customer gets $225 off any bike, and they can get that once per year.
Okay.
So you can buy a bike every year and get $225 off. The program is supposed to last 10 years, but the government changes their mind every now and then, because this rebate started at $450 per bike, and 2 years into it, they cut it down to $225 per bike. But currently, anyone can come in and get $225 off any e-bike, class 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say, if you're looking for places to ride your bike or a group to join, you guys are looking at starting your own e-bike ride,
we
do welcome e-bikes on our Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort Monday night ride. We bike the garden every Monday night at 6 o'clock, and we're e-bike friendly for that. And then also our Saturday ride, we have three different levels of ride groups that go out, and e-bikes are welcome. We just ask for courtesy that you're not racing up a hill past the leader and telling everyone good job as you race up that hill. I think it's better to put a heavier gear on your bike and kind of hang back a little bit and visit, be a little bit more social versus trying to race above all these self-powered cyclists. That is cycling etiquette that will make you a welcome addition to our rides versus an unwelcome addition to our rides. I know the Manitou Spokes, they meet on Tuesday nights at the lodge on Tuesday nights at the back at 5 o'clock. First Tuesday of the month, they meet at a different location, but they are e-bike friendly and they have a road ride and a hill climb ride that you could bring your bike on.
That's great.
But you did mention getting a ticket through the garden on an e-bike. How do you get a ticket riding through the garden on an e-bike?
I didn't get a ticket.
Oh, you
just
got a warning.
Yeah.
What is that for?
I pulled off on the trail.
Oh, okay.
And I was just pulling out. I knew the law, and I wasn't intending to go any further. I just pulled off on the trail.
Okay.
And I was like 10 yards into it, and a ranger was there.
Like, no,
he goes, no e-bikes. Yeah.
But there is, for mountain bikes, there's that nice little section of trail at the front of the park that you can do. But you can ride your e-bike all through the garden on the designated bike lane that goes through the entire park with no trouble at all.
Yeah, and that's where all our tourists go.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a short 5-minute ride from our store to the Garden of the Gods. And yeah, they love it. They tell us when they're done, because most tourists come out and they do all the big things first. Pikes Peak.
Yep.
And they do the e-bike last. But oftentimes they tell us that it was their favorite thing the family did while they were in town.
I bet. That's
because, amazing. I mean, just think of it. On a fun e-bike in the Garden of the Gods.
It's so beautiful. Just every corner is a surprise and delight.
Yeah.
So where do we find your company, Manitou E-Bike Co.? What's the website?
ManitouEbikeCo.com.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Greg, for being on our show today.
Oh, absolutely. Enjoyed it.
And thank you for joining us on Pedal the Springs. Pedal the Springs is brought to you by the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, the only bike-themed lodging and must-stay for cyclists coming to Colorado. Check us out at bicycleresort.com for more information. See the show notes for links we mentioned in this episode and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out the other fine podcasts at studio809podcast.com. This is what community sounds like. Petal the Springs is recorded in the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs.